Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we love the Lord. This is continuing a series, His Finished Works is Our Rest. Okay? And there's a couple scriptures that we're going to cover right quick. I've already covered them with the body here, but we want to share with all those listening in. And it's Psalm 119 and 52 and 53. It says, when I have earnestly, and we need, this is Amplified Bible, earnestly recalled your ordinances from old, O Lord, I have taken comfort. Now, to put that in New Testament language, it goes like this. When I have focused and meditated and immersed myself in your word, Lord, you comfort me and you minister to me. Okay? Now, that's powerful. Okay? That's what he loves to do. And that's what he will do with the word. Okay? I'm telling you, people, he's given us his word. And his word will not return void, but it will accomplish the desire of his heart, okay? And verse 53 says, burning indignation, terror, and sadness seize upon me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Now look, that's some real life living right there. And I want to tell you, because of sin and the wickedness and everything, it affects us. Sin hurts, sin destroys, sin disturbs, am I right? And we face that on a regular basis. But here's the deal right here. Is that, you know what, a lot of Christians live in verse 53. But we don't have to, okay? Even though real life happens, don't park there. Who wants to be all burnt up on the inside and disturbed? Who wants to be in fear? Who wants to be overwhelmed with sadness? Okay, there's a better way, okay? We can practice and live in verse 52 because the Lord is present and his word is real and it's alive. And we focus and meditate on his word. I want to tell you, we can come into and receive his comfort, his peace, his joy, his love, whatever we need. Because he loves to love on us. And this is talking about rest, okay? Many are worried. I'm telling you, you could walk up and down the street or you could walk up and down the pew of any church and you could say, you know, I understand that you're worried or anxious, and you're going to hit a target a bunch of times. Okay, look, fear, being uptight, look, that's real living for some people, but you're not just a real human, okay, you're more than that, okay, you're a son and daughter of the living God, Christ lives in you, you're not just human, and with Christ all things are possible, and so in Christ and through Christ, we can receive comfort and peace and joy and love, all that he is. In spite of verse 53, we can live in and walk in verse 52. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. So we need to labor into rest and learn how to practice rest. You got to practice this. Don't wait until you have a crisis to try to touch rest. It's a whole lot easier to experience his rest when a crisis comes if you're already walking in it. And let me just say this, you know, don't wait till a giant shows up to try to lean on the Lord for a victory. You know, you overcome the Lord with the Lord when the bear shows up or when the lion shows up, when the smaller battles come. You learn how to lean on the Lord and walk in the Lord and receive from the Lord in the smaller battles. And then guess what? When the giant shows up in your life, you're there. You're receiving. You're there. Okay? And it's all good. Hebrews 4:3, the first part says this. For we who have believed, adhered to, and trusted in, and relied on God, do enter that rest. Now that is the perfect will of God. That is the desire of God for you, and you can receive it because Jesus paid the price for it. There's a rest for the people of God. It's already provided. Now when I say that it's already provided, it doesn't mean that it's automatic. Because we have to reach and receive it. Okay. Oh, you know what it is? It's cooperating with the Lord. You say, well, I don't understand this kind of mystery. You know what your part is to surrender your heart to the Lord and ask. You know, we have not because we ask not. Pursue and seek the Lord, labor. Come to the place of peace in your heart, and Jesus will coach you. He's called the Holy Spirit. He will coach you into receiving. He is the coach. He's the teacher. He's the guide. You ought to see what all his name means. It's beautiful. And he's there for you. He's very present for you. And he will coach you and walk you into this. It does require faith. But I'm telling you, the Lord's given you faith. It's applying it. It's saying yes on the inside. It's believing and seeking. Hey, have you ever heard the scripture, ask? It's asking, it's knocking. Hey, it's seeking, it's cooperating with the Lord. And part of it has to do with renewing our mind. Because if you operate off of a physical world mindset, a human world mindset, then I want to tell you something. That mind is dark, that mind is death. You say, well, you don't know me. No, that's what the Bible says. Okay? The normal human mind thinking world mindset is death. There's no life in it. Now, there's a number of good things out there that you can involve yourself in, but I want to tell you, they're not life. Just because it's okay or good doesn't mean it's life. The Bible says that what is life to you is the spiritual mind. Amen. Okay? It's the spiritual mind, all right? And so this is what that's all about. You practice a spiritual mindset of seeking the Lord, and He brings it into pass. Just like God's plan for Israel was to be delivered from Egypt and enter into the rest of the promised land, but they did not get to enter in because of unbelief. Rest is the opposite of unbelief. It's believing. It's trusting and relying on the Lord. And they suffered and died in the wilderness. And I want to tell you, you say, well, all bless their heart. No, no. It's more than that. God considered it rebellion. God considered it rebellion. Which means that they said no to God. Unbelief is saying no to God. Okay? Wow. You know, we could take that and say, you know, worry is saying, I don't trust you, God. You see, it's an expression of fear, doubt, unbelief, speculation. Well, I know you're big enough to do it. I just don't know if you will for me. You know what? That's doubting His love for you. God, I just don't know if you love me enough. Will He gave you, if He gave you Jesus, will He withhold anything else from you? Okay. But listen, so God takes this very, very seriously. Why did I not receive, Lord? Well, it's not on God's end. It may be a thing of timing. God honors perseverance and pursuing and continuing to seek Him. So there's nothing wrong with that, a whole lot right with that. But the deal is, you know what? It may just very well come down to unbelief. If we're experiencing the battle, you know, the tug of war in our mind, I want to tell you, Bible's real, real clear. Well, do I believe? Do I not believe? Yeah, but the world's saying, the doctors are saying, and the people and the financial forecast is saying, and what I feel is saying. Look, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable. How can he expect to receive anything from the Lord? That's Bible. Okay, and so what we got to do is saturate ourselves with the spiritual mind on what Jesus says. And what Jesus says has greater esteem in our life than what the world or our feelings or what doctor, what everybody else is saying. So just as they did not enter in, even though they were delivered from Egypt, it's possible for us to be truly saved and not enter into victory. Okay, now the people that's been following this after 17 sermons, they know that's a good place to say amen. If this is the first time you've heard this, you're going to say, what? Well, just go back and listen to 17 of them, or listen to this one 17 times. But, you know, it's part of renewing your mind. We cannot operate in spiritual authority and spiritual power and walk in the promised land of the finished works of Jesus with a physical human mind mindset. Okay? We're going to have to switch and practice a spiritual mindset. Okay? And so it's possible to be saved and not walk in peace. We know that. It's possible to be saved and not walk in joy. It's possible to be saved and not walk in the love of God. Okay? And a blessing inside that He has for us, blessing on the outside that He has for us, it can stay in the storehouse if we're not walking in rest. And so, you know, I'm not talking about heaven right now, so don't go there. Don't say something I'm not saying. I'm probably saying enough that it'll question you anyway, or challenge you anyways. But don't say what I'm not saying. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about getting stuck in the wilderness. I'm talking about getting stuck not entering into the abundant life that Jesus has paid for and that he's provided for us because we park in unbelief. So our part is to labor into rest. So it's not anything to fear. Don't fear. The Bible tells us over and over again not to fear, but it does tell us that you do need to be afraid of not entering into rest. Don't miss this. Okay, Hebrews 4:1, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today, somebody say today, let us be afraid to distrust it. Okay, that's a serious caution there. Because if we miss this, we can miss everything else. Lest any of you should think he has come too late, because that's what the devil will tell you. You know what? It's too late for you. I'm here to announce to you the hope of the Lord from the Word of God. It's not too late for you. But today, if you hear his voice, say yes. Cooperate with him. Amen. I love that. Okay. And so he's provided a rest relationship, and he wants us to receive this. I want to convince you of this. If you could leave with this in mind, it will help you. He doesn't want you to miss. He wants you to receive it and to walk in it more than you want it. And he paid for it. So what he's saying is, come on in. Seek and pursue rest. And the Holy Spirit will coach you in it. Okay, he will show you. You say, well, it's mystery. I don't know how. Just say yes to the Lord. Surrender your heart. Be determined about it. Okay, labor and rest. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will coach you into it. Let me give you a little example. I don't know. You've probably, because it's practice in this country, you've probably hid Easter eggs for your kiddos. Somebody asked me one time, what's the spiritual significance of an Easter egg? I said, I have no clue. And I would not build a sermon on it. There is a principle of seeking and finding. I can use that part. But here's the deal that I'm trying to share with you. You know, when you hide Easter eggs for your kids or your grandkids, you want them to find them. You're hiding them with the excitement and the rejoicing of finding in mind. That's your heart. And I want to tell you, that's the way it is with the Lord. This is described in wisdom, in Proverbs, about wisdom over and over again. But he's not hiding it from you. He's hiding it for you. And if you seek, you'll find. If you turn your heart toward him, I'm talking to you about this rest. It's not reserved for the super spiritual or the spiritual giants. No, Jesus paid the price for all of us to walk in his rest. And it's not this big mystery thing. Would you say yes to the Lord, and would you seek with your heart the Lord and be diligent about just, Lord, I want to know. Lord, I want to receive. Lord, I want to walk in all that you have for me. Heaven hears that prayer loud and clear. And the Holy Spirit will coach you. He'll take you gently, lovingly, at whatever pace you will allow him. He will take you and walk you into the treasures of the Lord, because they've been paid for you. Hey, overpaid. He's got you in mind. You said, well, but my life, no. It's greater than what your life's been. Okay? He paid for it. And he wants you to have it. His love for you and his desire for you is bigger than your hiccups. Okay? And look, it's not a thing where we're begging. You know, he's already provided, okay? Pastor Don set out for us yesterday morning some of Mother Mary's sausage and gravy. If you've never had that, I would hang out there on Tacoma Street in Irving until they serve it. Okay, but here's the deal, okay? Mother Mary had already cooked it. Pastor Don laid it out. It would have been wrong, Pastor James, for myself, you, Pastor Tony, to get up there at the bar where it's laid out and it's warm and ready to go and beg for it. Am I right?
Right.
Look, man, we know Mother Mary's heart. We know Pastor Don, when he's in revival, he shares. Okay. Oh, that slipped out. That wasn't in the notes. I love him. Let me tell you something. It would have been wrong for us to stand there and beg or ask, what can we do to earn this or deserve it? Because I want to tell you, it's an expression of love. Okay? I'm telling you, when she makes sausage gravy, she's loving on you. There's a lot of love in it. Oh, there's a lot I can say. I got to move on. But see, we're not begging. You know what we do? We say, thank you and receive. It's not by our works, it's by His. It's thank you and receive. So practice saying thank you and receiving. The Holy Spirit will walk you into receiving. It's not this big mystery. It's not this big athletic, spiritual aerobics. Okay? It's being still, practicing His rest, and receiving it. Accepting what He has done. And you got to practice this. All right? You're probably not going to figure it all out on the first move. I've been practicing a long time. I don't have it all figured out. But I want to tell you something. I've seen the results over and over again enough time. I'm addicted to Jesus. And I'm addicted to rest. And I want you to be addicted to rest. And that's a scriptural reference, by the way. Okay, to the ministry of the saints. Ministry of Jesus to the saints. And so we accept what He's done. When God created and said it is good, it was finished, it was done, it was complete. You know what that is? That's resting. So we can rest and enjoy it. We can receive it. I asked the teens one time, I was ministering to them and talking to them about prayer, and sometimes I'll just stop and just ask questions to make sure that they're connected and got the same channel going. And I remember asking a group of them one time, well, what's your favorite part of prayer? One little guy raised his hands. I said, yeah, what's your favorite part of prayer? He said, the amen. Okay. And I said, do you want to explain that? He said, yeah, at the meal. When they say amen, it's time to eat. I said, got you. Okay, I understand that. Okay, but listen. Jesus has already said amen to what He has for us. And you know what that means? Just like this little fella understood, it's time to eat. Hey, I don't know. You may have been on a diet from the blessing of God or the promised land of the finished works of Jesus all your life. You don't have to be no more. He's already said amen. You know what it's time to do? I'm trying to encourage you. Let the Holy Spirit whisper to you that, yes, this is for you. There's more available for you than we've ever walked in. And He wants us to walk in it. The world needs us to walk in it so that they can see how real He is. It's not just for you. It's for others. But I'm here to tell you something. Let's eat. Amen. Let's partake. Let's enjoy the finished works of Jesus. I want to tell you, when you get healed and your testimony of healing is out there, they're going to be blessed and they're going to be touched because the Holy Spirit will say to them, what God's done for this one, He can do for you. That's what the Holy Spirit says. And remember what I told you, the miracles or the blessings of God are just like a dinner bell for everybody else to come, to come running. Don't you love that picture? Okay, I do. I really do. So 1 Peter 2:24 says this, He personally bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Now, I'm here to say something to you. This was personal. You see the word personal there? Jesus made it personal. Don't dare think it's some kind of blank canvas and He just died for everybody. No. It needs to be personal to you. And understand that. And you know what? There's probably people that are not here that really need to hear this, usually the way it works out. But you're here, and so I'm sharing it with you that, look, you need to understand and personally understand that Jesus personally suffered for your sins. He overpaid for your sins. Your sins, yes, your sins cost Him. And it was personal because He personally loves you. And so it goes like this. He personally bore our sins in His own body on the tree as an altar and offered Himself on it that we might die, cease to exist to sin. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody here is perfect. But what it means is this, is that the punishment of sin has been paid for. Your punishment has been paid for by the blood of Jesus. Overpaid. Done away with. The power of sin has been paid for. If the power of sin is giving you a fit, then it's illegal. Because Jesus paid the price for the power of sin to be weak to you. Amen. You understand? That's the power of the blood of Jesus. Man, we need to take a bite of that. We need to chew on that. We need to feast on that. We need to live in that. That we might die, cease to exist to sin, and do what? Live to righteousness. Because when and we cannot live in the goodness and righteousness, understand that we have the gift of righteousness till we understand the sin's been dealt with. Otherwise, there's a tug of war there. Yeah, you see, the Bible says that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, and you have the fullness of God, but then there's this big voice saying, yeah, but I messed up in my Cheerios yesterday. Yeah. No, when you understand that the blood of Jesus paid, overpaid for your sin, and He paid for you to be received the gift, it's a gift of righteousness, and we're righteous because of Him and the price He paid. Wow, now that's fun. Amen. That means you're free to enjoy Him. And what He has for you. So the finished works of Jesus means it's all done. Look what He says in verse 24. That we might live to righteousness, by His wounds you have been healed. Now isn't it interesting that this is put together? Like hand in hand. And it's because it was the same price that paid for it all. You see, the healing is just an expression of His salvation because it's part of Him. He heals. Hey, look. The word salvation, sozo, it means more than going to heaven. And when you look at the Greek wording in it, it also means deliverance. It also means healing. It also means provision. Wow. In other words, salvation means all that He is. Amen. Okay, and so He paid the price, the same price He paid for our sin. And for us to have the gift of righteousness is the same overpayment that He paid for our healing and our deliverance and for our provision. Wow. I'm telling you, you catch that, you'll do more than a holy grunt. Because that means a whole lot is available for us. And so, look, the finished works of Jesus means that it's already done. You understand that it says by His wounds you... Did it say you're going to be one day maybe healed?
No.
It doesn't say that. You know, this is past tense. You understand? You have been. You say, well, here I am with, and I'm struggling. Well, okay, that's temporary. And I want to tell you, let's believe for better than that. You say, well, I don't want to bug the kingdom of heaven because it's just a cold. No. He paid the price for your cold. Well, it's cancer. Well, no, He paid the price for cancer.
Amen.
I shared with the pastors this weekend. It's all level at the cross.
Yes.
It's all level.
Right.
If you catch this, He paid the same price for a thought sin as He did an act of sin.
Woo.
Now, I want to tell you, an act of sin has greater effect on you. Has greater effect on others. But I want to tell you, it's paid for. And you don't have to walk under the power of that sin. You can be free from it. You don't have to walk under the punishment of that sin. You don't have to walk with 1,000 pounds of guilt on your back the rest of your life because Jesus paid the price for you to be free from it. You cannot walk in the righteousness of God as long as you're walking in guilt and condemnation. Okay, look, hey. Well, it's just a cold. It's just a headache. It's level at the cross. He paid the same price for the cold as He did the cancer. That ought to be exciting to somebody. I'm just trying to help you on this. That the finished works of Jesus mean it's all done. And we were healed. You say, well, it's not manifest. Well, this is why we practice rest.
Amen.
And you know what we do? We practice rest till we receive. Wow, that didn't take long to say, did it? Well, I've got more sermon, though. And our part is to thank You, Lord, that I receive. Now, when Adam and Eve got hungry, I want to tell you what they did. Look at me. I'm just giving an example. People listening on podcasts can't see this. But you know what? I'm kind of hungry. Reached up. Thank You, Father. That's good. Because it was provided. It was already there. Ripe. Ready. More than they can eat was there. And so that needs to be a picture for us that we rest and enjoy Him and we receive. Thank You, Lord, that I receive. This is what they did. They rested. Hey, we've covered this. Sabbath means to rest. Okay? When Moses was talking about the Sabbath, look, it's a picture for us. It's a day to remember him. It's a day to remember him, to practice remembering him. We have a picture in communion. We're to practice, the Lord instructed us to practice remembering him. Because I want to tell you, when you remember that he paid the price for your healing through the suffering of his body, we get the benefit of him suffering for us that we might benefit from that and be released from our suffering. When you remember that, and when you remember that the blood of Jesus has paid the price for the punishment of sin to be erased and the power of sin to be erased, the precious, powerful blood of Jesus is overpayment. When you remember that, then you say, oh yeah, I can receive freely. That's why it's important for us to practice remembering, okay? And so that's what the picture is all about. He's provided. So now, when I'll tell you, the picture of communion says that now you're free because of Jesus and the covenant that he made and the price he paid. You're free to enjoy him. You're free to have great relationship with him. You're free to receive. And all the people said,
amen.
Okay, now, you know, religious people or law can turn everything around and pervert it. What God meant for love exchange and love expression, men can turn into evil. You know that's true. Look at this. Religious people got mad at Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath. Can you imagine that? This man's life's been changed for the rest of his life. He's released from pain and agony and torment. Now he can get up and walk and provide for his family and be a man to his family and enjoy his family like he's been suffering and not able to do for years. And the religious people are saying, that's wrong! They got mad at Jesus for healing on the Sabbath because they believed that the law of the Sabbath was more important than the people enjoying the Sabbath. Do you understand? Hey, the Sabbath was designed for goodness, receiving God's goodness and for goodness. Hey, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what happens. They made man the servant of the Sabbath, a prisoner of the Sabbath. It became death and not life. They didn't care about people being helped. They worshiped their rules. And that's what's dangerous about religion. The rules are more important than God, or the rules are more important than the expression of the love of God, or rules are more important than the people. They worship their rules. Now be advised, Pharisees still live today. They don't call themselves that.
Right.
And some of them are even in churches.
Right.
Did he say that? Yes, I did say it. I'm going to say it again. And some of them are in churches. So be aware, be advised, because it's rules over relationship. It's law over grace. Sabbath was a picture of New Testament reality. So don't use the picture to beat people up. That's not what it's designed for. Get on to the real. Okay? The picture is not the real. It's a picture of the real. Get to the real. God wants you to enjoy him. He wants you to rest. He wants you to receive what he has provided, because this blesses the heart of a father. This kind of relationship. It's like sometimes I have people that say or have said, you know, Brother Tim, I believe the Lord wants me to have communion every day. I said, great. Man, enjoy remembering him every day. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Just keep in mind, communion is a picture of the real. So don't worship the elements. Worship the Jesus that they point to. And communion is supposed to say, you know, I remember what he's done and what he's paid for, and that I'm free to enjoy him. That's communion, is the enjoying him. Okay, do you see that? Okay, so we're free to recognize him and receive him and respond to him. Colossians 2, the first part talks about Jesus has made you complete. And that's a beautiful picture. I don't have time to go there, but let me share this. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes yourselves captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies and plain nonsense, following human tradition, men's ideas of material rather than the spiritual world, just crude notions, following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe, and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah. Now I want to tell you something. There's a lot spoken in his name that he didn't speak. Oh, I needed to say that. I don't think I have to explain that, do I? Okay, so don't let any man spoil you with lies or religious traditions or religious rules. It's legalism and rules over relationship. I want to tell you, that's one of the ways to listen to a sermon and discern. Does this sermon highlight Jesus? Does this sermon uplift Jesus? Does this sermon have the fruit effect of encouraging me to love him and to walk with him? Okay, that's life, that's Jesus, that sounds like Jesus, that you can continue with Jesus with that kind of thing. Okay, that kind of emphasis. All right, here we go. Colossians 2:16, I could park there, but I won't. Therefore, let no one sit in judgment on you in matters of food. Now, that's happening in Christian circles 2018. I am amazed at the different groups that'll say, God doesn't want you to eat this or to eat that, or if you eat this or eat that, you're not walking with God. Or drink. It goes the same way there. I could stay there. Or with regard to a feast day. Now, you know, there are feast days in the Jewish worship of God, and there were feast days on purpose. It was to get those people to remember God and to see Jesus. Because every feast day is a picture of Jesus. Okay? But here's the day, and also about the new moon. Every time a new moon came up, okay, it meant that it was a time to bring offering to the Lord. So it was a monthly reminder there. New moon, ministry time that we go and present offerings to the Lord. But you know, the difference now is that we live as an offering to the Lord. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, we're to be a continual expression of love worship to the Lord, 24/7. No, don't wait till new moon, okay? And then it talks about the Sabbath. And so there's five things there that Paul's warning us about. Don't let people put you in bondage over these five things. Why did he name them? Because that's what was happening in the day. Okay? Still happening today. You say, well, I don't ever hear that. Well, God bless you and your protection. Okay. But all these things are pictures that point to Christ. It's like I shared with Mammy and Pappy. I was with them a little bit this week. And I was showing them pictures of their great-grandkids. Because they haven't got to see them in a long time. And so when I show them the little pictures and the little videos, boy, it just really fills their hearts. But I told them this. I said, I want you to see this as a picture that if they were here, you wouldn't be looking at pictures. Am I right?
Come on.
Who wants to look at the picture if the real's there? Amen. You don't worship the picture if you know the real is there. And so this is what this is talking about. I'm just trying to tell you, it may be a little gift of too simplicity, but I want to tell you the beautiful pictures in the Bible. It's okay to study them. It's okay to look at them because we want to see Jesus and we focus on Jesus and we get revelation of Jesus. But don't worship the pictures because we have the real. Oh, man, I love the Lord. Don't stumble over the picture. And don't let anybody else put chains on you about the pictures. Colossians 2:17. How am I doing? Okay, Colossians 2:17. Such things are only the shadow of things that are to come. And he has come. Okay? And they only have symbolic value. But the reality, the substance, the solid fact of what is foreshadowed, the body of it belongs to Christ. You see? So a shadow points to the real. I love the types and shadows, but I want to tell you, I don't surrender to the types and shadows. I don't wrap my life around them. I wrap my life around the real. The picture represents the real. And Sabbath was a shadow. The true Sabbath breakers, and this is going to go out to a lot of people, and some of them aren't going to like this, but I hope you chew on it. The true Sabbath breakers are those who honor rules and regulations one day a week and miss enjoying the real 7 days a week. Amen. Did you catch that? It's so important to me, I'm going to say it again. The true Sabbath breakers are those who honor rules and regulations one day a week and miss enjoying the real 7 days a week. Okay. Jesus came that we might have life through his rest more abundantly. I know sometimes people can be living a defeated, sad, negative, angry life because I've met them. And they can be proud and feel holy because they're a rules keeper. But they're missing the life. The Holy Spirit can confirm truth. He's so good at that. He's the true teacher. But Jesus has paid the price so that we're free to enjoy the abundant life and receive the yes that he's provided in the promises. Jesus brought the physical reality to us to enjoy him of what the shadow was pointing to. Now this weekend, I shared with the pastors a number of testimonies of people that were in the worst case scenarios. Okay, worst case scenarios. I'm talking about crisis, worst case scenarios. And testimony after testimony came this. Jesus gave me peace in the middle of it. And gave me hope that he was going to resolve it. Now I want to tell you, the world can't explain that. Humans can't explain that. It's J-E-S-U-S. But that's his personal power and abundant life in your life. Okay? Because he gives us hope. And he says he is our peace. He is our peace. A peace that passes all human understanding. It doesn't make sense to the world or in human logic. But they would receive his peace. Am I right? Let's let the pastor say amen. A number of those we covered. Okay. Colossians 2:16. Therefore let no one sit in judgment of these things. Now, four of the five things people probably wouldn't even point to, the meat. Yes, you're free to eat pork. All right. I recommend barbecue sauce, but you're free to eat pork. The drink, the holy days. And you know, holidays, the word holidays come from holy days. You can enjoy the holy days, but enjoy the Lord. Don't become a slave to it, okay? I get tickled at people even going the opposite way on this. I had staff members in the past that we would be involved in ministry and everything, and all of a sudden they'd say, oh, I'm not going to be here on this important ministry day. Well, why not? Because some of our kinfolk have a birthday on that day. And we're going to miss everything because of the birthday on that day. You know what I shared with them? We hardly ever get to celebrate our birthday on the day of, but you don't have to. Okay? Hey, you're free to celebrate your birthday before, during, and after. Ask the Shipleys. They celebrate whole months. I pulled something on my beautiful darling this year. Because I got home, you know, I told you the Sunday she was coming in from Oklahoma, and I was rushing to get a few things, got the car, got home, and I knew she was close to getting home, and I was trying to get the house ready and everything set up, and I couldn't find the card. Looked everywhere. Couldn't find one. The one I paid for is on the parking lot somewhere. But I want to tell you something. All I could find was a Christmas card. And so I wrote on that Christmas card, I'm going to redeem it. I wrote on that Christmas card, this means that I'm celebrating your birthday, not just for the whole month, but till Christmas. Is that true? Okay. Now see, she didn't mind that. But what I'm saying is, hey, watch out for the special days. I'm trying to get my house ready with Christmas decorations for the holiday called Halloween. I don't know if I'm going to make it. My wife says, no, it ain't happening. But I want to tell you, we've done it in the past. And people come up and say, why you got Christmas decorations up? Well, because we celebrate Christ all year round. Okay, I'm just trying to help you with something. The new moon, you probably don't even know when that is unless you're a fisherman. Now, I keep up with that. Okay, but the Sabbath, this is the one that modern Christians seem to get in bondage over. Of all these things, he named five things with the Sabbath. And I want to tell you, well, such things are only the shadow of things. Colossians 2:17, their symbolic value, the reality of it belongs to Christ. Now look, I'm going to stop right here. And I'm going to share with you some more next week. But God's desire is for you to walk in His freedom and in His liberty. And His freedom and His liberty doesn't give you a stamp to go do something wrong.
Amen.
His grace and His liberty frees you to love Him back. And you know, He so greatly loves us. When you are loved, you love back. When you recognize that you're loved back. That is the godly response. And I want to tell you, when you're loving Him back, you don't want to do bad. The desire in you, the fruit of the Spirit, is to do good. And so I want to tell you, when those wrong desires come up, they're not from God. I want to tell you, He's freed us from the power of that. And so you don't have to automatically surrender to it. Oh, I had this desire. I can't help it. It was a desire. No, no, no. And you can't blame Satan for it. He's already defeated the enemy. He's overcome the power of sin and the punishment of sin. Our part is to receive grace, His strength in life, to say no to it and to walk away from it by walking to Him. Wow. He's freed us to enjoy His rest. He's more interested in you enjoying Him than you doing something for Him. That's rest. But if you practice enjoying Him, you know what? You're going to want to do for Him. That's expression, because we're loving Him back. Amen? All right, I'm praying for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless you in the name of the Lord, these precious people. Thank you for your love life. Thank you for the liberty and freedom that Jesus brings us. And Lord, we just celebrate your goodness. I speak in the name of Jesus that the power of God will come against every hindrance, every lie, everything that exalts itself against Jesus. And we bring it under the authority and under the power of Jesus Christ. And we confess liberty and freedom. We take authority over every bondage, every stronghold. And we confess that Jesus is Lord. And we release the resurrection life freedom that comes. And I declare that by the power of the resurrection life, these precious people are set free to enjoy you and to commune with you and to walk with you. Lord Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us how to make it so. And all of God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Let's